And I'm not talking about just the physical part, which is a big part of the sanctuary. Because one of the first instructions God gave the children of Israel once they escaped Egypt was to make a place for him to abide. Build a sanctuary. Of course, then it was tents they put up temporarily. And when they moved, the tent moved. When they moved, that place of worship went with them. You know, that was evangelism started. The tent evangelist started many, many years ago. Because that's where the presence was in that tent. And so it's very important we understand what the sanctuary is and what we can glean from the sanctuary. We might be surprised. We think today of sanctuaries as being buildings with lots of seats and a fancy platform and a fancy preacher and fancy lights, and it's a place that the choir sings, the preacher preaches, and we give our offering and go home. But the sanctuary is much deeper than that. The sanctuary is much more important than that. In the sanctuary is the place that we as God's children come to serve God and to give to God and to offer our sacrifice unto God. Preacher Mike said his anointing service he had for his new church Saturday night, I thought it was a very great point he made. He said many times people only equate the altar with repentance, salvation. But the altar is a place that when you open up the altar, that you can come and bring any offering. It doesn't have to be your, you know, I'm repenting to be saved. It can be I'm coming to the altar to give God my praise, to give God my glory. And so when we come into the sanctuary, it's a time for us to give of ourselves to God, of what is due him. And the Bible says many times, enter his gate with thanksgiving, or enter his gates with praise, and, you know, enter, you know, with thanksgiving. To enter that, it says that the praise, Psalms 34:1, that to keep the praise of his lips continually flowing. I should continually keep, bless the Lord with my mouth continually. The praise should come continually off my mouth. The sanctuary is sacred. The sanctuary has lost, I think, some of its sanctity because man's messed it up and not realized. That's why I said many times, I want people, when they come here to Living Word, I want them to be comfortable. I want them to feel loved and welcomed. Or I don't want a religious stipulation of you got to be this to be loved by God. But I do want them to feel like they're somewhere different. See, there ought to be a threshold of when they walk in these walls, because this place, church, has been consecrated for the service of God. It's not been consecrated for entertaining people or scratching itching ears. It's been consecrated that the gospel is preached and that the Holy Spirit is felt, and that lives are changed. There ought to be a difference. When they cross that threshold, there ought to be something that grabs them so extreme that they realize there's a glory in this place. There's a glory cloud here that's not found anywhere else because it's in the sanctuary. We can't find that glory cloud at the workplace. We can't find it out, you know, at a restaurant. It's found in the sanctuary of God's presence is when that glory cloud is what it's designed for. And this church is designated and designed for serving God, for worshiping God, for proclaiming God, and for God's people to have their needs met. That's what the sanctuary is for. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter 25, talk about the sanctuary, and then we're going to go to Hebrews where it was fulfilled by Christ. So we're going to parallel both. Exodus 25, go to the first slide. We want first of all define what sanctuary is. As you can see on the screen, in the Hebrew, sanctuary translates into a holy place, a concentrated place. It specifically says that, a concentrated place. Now, if you don't know what concentration means, the next slide tells us that, because I want to really define it. Concentration means persons or places set aside for the service of God. So as Christians, when we give our life to Jesus, we become consecrated, set apart for the service of God. That's why the Bible says that we are bought with a price. We're no longer our own. God's bought us. So now I used to serve the devil. I used to serve my flesh. I used to serve the world. I used to serve all the appetites of all those around me and feeding them, but not anymore. God has now set me apart to where I serve God, and I'm consecrated for that purpose. I'm set aside for that purpose. That's my new thing, is I now serve God. And so it's a place or person set aside for the service of God. That's why this is a church, very proudly a church. It's got a cross on top to let everybody know it's a church. If you walk in here by mistake and don't know it's a church, it's your own fault. There's a cross on top letting you know it's a church. Oh, it's a church? It's a church. And we're proud it's a church. I don't want to be one that tries to make it so unchurchy that nobody knows it's a church anymore. And I understand the church is not the outer building, but the outer building is consecrated, and this place is here for one reason, to share the gospel of Jesus with everybody that walks through the doors. That's why we're here. It's got one purpose, to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And so we are set apart. We had a when we had our land dedication, before we built our building, we had a right where we are now was a big old square slab. They slabbed it together and got it built. We had a groundbreaking ceremony on a Sunday morning. It had rained all night the night before. I mean, it came a gusher that night before, muddied everything up. So I got up early Sunday morning. We got some long tarps, and people parked across the street. We had nowhere to park then. Had to park across the street over there in driveways, lagoons and other driveways, walk across the road, and we had tarps to kind of walk to the muddy areas, had folding chairs out there, and we prayed over the land. We dedicated it for the service of God, that this land that this building is going to be built upon is dedicated to you, Lord, and only to you. One purpose, one mission. It's yours, God. Your building, your people, your service, your ministry, it's yours. Dedicated unto you, God. We set it apart for one purpose. Just like the days of Moses when they would put the tent up and bring their offerings. This is our New Testament tent. This is the dwelling place of God physically. The dwelling place of God, to where we come together and we serve God in one mind and one accord. And it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. And I remember that morning that we did that dedication, that there was a dove that flew over us. And it was like a significant thing that morning we looked up and there was a dove that flew right over where this church was going to be. It so reminded me of when Jesus was baptized and the dove appeared, you know. And it was just a confirmation that, yeah, God's here. And this is the right thing in God's eyes. And so ever since we built this church, be 10 years in November, we had our first service, 10 years coming up in this building. And it's been the whole purpose of that is to be served and consecrated for God. This sanctuary is special. This sanctuary means something. This altar should still mean something. In these four walls, wonderful things happen in the presence of God, and that's how it should be. It should be a place that we feel His presence because church, do you realize that just as much as God wants to hear from us, we need to talk to God? As important as it is for God to receive our offerings and sacrifices, it's as important for us to give that to Him through our praise, through our prayer, through our worship, through our mouths. That's why we come together. And many have departed from that fact. It's not about entertainment. I know people now, they get so bored and they jump from one thing to the other to be entertained. We're in that society where everything you got to be entertained. But do you understand that as we entertain God, man, as we entertain the Holy Spirit and we begin to do what we're supposed to do as a worshiper, the things that can happen? Because inside the sanctuary is where the deliverance comes. It's inside. See, it's behind that veil. For those outside the veil looking in, they're not receiving what we have inside this veil, inside this sanctuary. You've got to come in to be able to feel and hear what God has to say. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. And thank God He tore that veil from top to bottom through the cross. He tore it, giving all of us access into that sanctuary, that holy place where we can touch God, where our spirit touches God, where our eyes can see God. He said in His word to come to my throne with boldness. Boldly approach my throne. I want you to touch the mercy seat. I want you to come to my presence. I desire to hear from you and what you have to offer me to give me what I'm due, praise and glory and honor always. So let's go to scriptures. This is Exodus 25. We're going to do 1 through 8. They had been delivered from Pharaoh and all that, and God is giving them, here's the institution, the beginning of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, speak unto the children of Israel, and they bring me an offering, that they may bring me an offering of every man. Now here's the key. That giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Any offering we give God, whether it's money in this plate, whether it's our hands in the air, whether it's our mouth proclaiming His praises, whether it's on our knees at the altar, whether it's serving our fellow people, whether it's witnessing to someone else, any offering we give to God needs to be with a willing heart. Therefore, church, we're really not blessed. God doesn't want you. The Bible says don't give grudgingly. God doesn't want you to bring an offering grudgingly. You lose your blessing anyway. I mean, nobody wants that. you want to give to people you love because you love them out of a willing heart. I did it just because I love you. God's the same way. When you bring your offering, you bring your praise, bring it from a willing heart. Don't give it out of guilt. Don't give it out of you think you have to do it. Don't give it out of fear of damnation and fire flames taking you down. Give it from a willing heart to say, God, you know what? I love you so much, I want to bring you my offering of praise, my offering of worship, my whatever that offering is, I want to give it to you with a willing heart. Man, when we do that, we release such a blessing in our lives, and we bless God, and He is like a sweet-smelling Savior, the Bible says, as we bring the offering. He honors that offering. And so it's got to be with a willing heart, not grudgingly. It's very key to remember that as we offer things to God. And see, as a pastor, I struggle with that because I call the congregation when they're out. I made several calls today, yesterday, to people I talked to, miss you, where you been? But see, I want people to want to be in church because they want to be in church. I don't want them coming because, well, pastor called me, keep calling me till I come, and they're right, I will. Until I know they're not coming no more, then I'll stop. The stalker eventually stops. I don't stalk forever. And I eventually stop. But I do call because I do care, and I realize the importance of being in the sanctuary. I realize the importance of being in the fold. I understand the importance of every message preached is a different message from God. And when you miss out on that opportunity, when you miss out on that message, what you could be going through could be exactly what you need to hear. Someone told me Sunday morning at the door, says, you were preaching to me. I feel like you were staring right through me on that message. Of course I wasn't, but the Holy Spirit ministered to that person to what they got, what they needed. And so I don't want people to come because they have to come. Well, I got to come. Patrick will be calling me. I got to go. Yeah, my old wife's nagging me. If we could ever learn, it ought to be a pleasure to come to the house of God. And for many of you, you do come completely out of pleasure. You would be here tonight on Wednesday night. And I appreciate that. I mean, we got our young people here, coming by themselves. It's wonderful to see that on a Wednesday night, coming to church. That shows me your heart wants to be here. And see, when your heart is willing, guess what? You get what you came for. But if you're sitting there like a blowed up toad and a bulldog because you got to be there, well, this got to, okay, I came this Sunday, now I keep the pat on my back for a few weeks. You ain't going to get nothing from God. Man, we ought to come in. I mean, my Lord, we ought to come in a sanctuary with such joy and expectation to walk into the sanctuary and go through those doors and realize I'm in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. I'm where God dwells among His people. I'm bringing the Holy Spirit with me, as Elizabeth said to me. I'm bringing the Holy Spirit with me. We are. Do you realize we bring the Holy Spirit with us? When Charles and Josephine, Josie, walked in the church, guess what walked in with them? The Holy Spirit walked in with them. My God, the supernatural rim of God walked in this place. And the Holy Spirit, as they walked through these doors, filled this atmosphere, not because of them, but because of who lives inside of them. It filled this place. And when all of us bring that Holy Spirit with us, it charges the atmosphere like lightning and thunder, to where things move and things happen and angels speak and minister to our lives because we bring it inside with us. That's the power. And that's the importance of the sanctuary. We don't just walk into a dry place. It's a church. It's a building. Ooh, dust on the lights. Big deal. We're walking into something much deeper than that. This is where God, for Living Word Ministries and this ministry, this is God's campsite. This is where the tent's been pitched. And God says, bring your offering and your praise and your sacrifice to this place, unto me, and worship, and do it with a willing heart, not grudgingly. This is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair. Aren't you glad for money? Don't sound so bad throwing a 10 on a plate. You got to go get goat's hair. Ram skins. Are you kidding me? Dried, red, badger skin. Melly would never get into the church if it's up to that. Are you kidding me? And then wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense, oxen stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It was so important to God when he delivered the people out of Egypt. He says, make me a sanctuary. So I've got a place to dwell. And that you got a place to come to. And you've got a place where me and you can meet. And that's really what the local church of this generation is supposed to be. It's a dwelling place for us to come together to meet God in a corporate body to bring our offerings. And I understand we worship at home, we pray at home, read at home. All that's still very important. But I'm talking about the sanctuary. That holy place that's set aside. It was so important to God in the old days that they had to make a temporary tent, set it up, instruct the people to bring of their goods and of their sacrifice to give unto me, that it'll be a sweet incense. Look what God had done for them. Wouldn't you want to give to God? He brought them out of 400 years of slavery. Wouldn't they want to serve this God who 10 plagues did not come nigh their dwelling? 10 plagues. Now think about your life. Think about how good God's been to you. I know we have storms. I know we have battles. You know, Charles almost died a year and a half ago. But he didn't. So he can look back now and say, God brought me out. God raised me up. When death had me, life grabbed me. We got something to be thankful for more than once. Our homes are watched over by the angels every night. Our kids that go away from us so they get of age are in the care of God. And everywhere they go, stupid stuff or smart stuff, God watches them. Our bills may not have all we want, but we're not sitting in the dark and we're not losing no weight. God's making a way. I know that there's struggles, but look back at all the victories. I think sometimes all we see is the struggles and it cancels out all the victories. But if we really look, the victories way outweigh the struggles. My God, how blessed that we are to have what we have, to live where we live, to have who we know living inside of us, and to know our future is sealed by the redemptive plan of Christ and how we know where we're going to end up. We know how the story ends for us. We know what the end is, and the end is eternal living with God. And we are blessed. So blessed. As a pastor, I hear many stories, many tragedies, counsel many people. And every time I think a story can't get worse, it does. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, my gosh, what you've been through. You know, I mean, you know, some of you have been through a lot of things, but some of you haven't. And when you look back at, you know what? I wasn't raised in an alcoholic home. I wasn't raised in a drug home. I wasn't sexually abused. You know, I had good parents that loved me. You know, we could go on and on with things. And even if you had some of those issues, there are still silver linings within those issues, if you really look at it, of where you could have been without the grace of God and what you could not have had without the grace of God. But God is faithful and God is good. And he deserves our praise and our offerings and our sacrifices, because there is much more good God has done than evil the devil has brought. It outweighs it tremendously. But we get on our pity kick, all of us do. We get on our whiny wagon, and we start thinking about all the things God should do. If God loved me, he would do this. Or why do they have that and I don't have that? I'm a good person. I know I gave more tithes than Gail. Why am I not being blessed? He is. I don't understand that. All that stuff we say. And we start, you know, getting on our pity kick of what, and not realizing, don't you know where I've brought you from? And more important, don't you know where you would have been without me? Think about that. Where we would have been without him. How different, you know, the movie Wonderful Life is a great story of that. Jimmy Stewart never been born. Look how different life would have been without him on the earth. You equate that spiritually. How different would your life be right now in 2015, if he's even here to see it, if it weren't for God? If it weren't for God in those situations that kept you, even in your darkness, even in your storms, he had a hedge about you that redirected your route and ordained your steps for a future hope that you would not have had apart from Christ. But you do, and you did, and you fulfill that because God's hand was on you. How different my life would have been if that tractor had crushed my father's spine and paralyzed him or killed him. It could have changed everything. Or if my dad in Vietnam had got blown up by a mortar or a shell and not married my mom and had me, how different my life would have been if they had not have met. All those things we look back and say, wow,
And my parents have a very romantic love story. They fell in love with Dad thousands of miles away. I mean, they fell in love. Dad was in Vietnam. Mom was here in Statesville. And before they actually physically met, they'd already formed a bond. That's pretty romantic. That's bogey style right there, buddy. That's Cary Grant. That's Rock Hudson before. That's some good stuff. So how different life would have been. I was telling Melanie last night. We were talking about Ashley. She's in the room with us. I said, you know, I'm so glad we had Ashley. I said, you know, we thought we were going to stop after our kid, after our son. We had a boy, girl. Right? Don't mess it up. It's even two. Boom. Done. And everybody said, don't have a third one. It'll mess everything up. My God, did it mess it up for a lot of years. Now we're good because two of them's out of the house. But man, for those years, that third one messed everything up. And so she was in the living room last night, and I'm like, Ashley, I am so glad we had you. Your mama kept saying somebody's missing. I feel like somebody is missing. And see, God knew. God knew he wasn't done. God knew Ashley had to be here. God already had her formed, had her. You know, the Bible says he formed in our inward, in the inward parts, and that secret of darkness. You know, he formed all that, and God knew Ashley was on the way and how different our lives would be without her. How different it would be. It really would be. I mean, we could think about, well, we'd be empty nest. Woo-hoo, ha-ha, let's go Hawaii. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I wouldn't take Hawaii for her twice. Melanie might. I wouldn't take her for Hawaii twice. I'm like, man, she so brings a fulfillment in our lives that we need in this season of our lives. And God knew that. So God knows our future. And so all of that to say this, wow, he deserves our praise. He deserves our honor and our glory for all the times. You know, you were in the Army, Gail, right? You were in the military, and how God kept you in your life. You could have been one of them boys in the bag coming back. I mean, what, 58,000 people killed in that war? 58,000 men in body bags. 58,000. I mean, that's the size of a good-sized city killed in one in the war. God kept you. God's done so much for you. And he says, look, build me a tabernacle that you can bring your offering and your praise. And that's why, to me, church is so important. And that's why I'm so frustrated by what I'm seeing happen in our culture, to where Sundays are just another day of the week now. We got sports going on. We got activities going on. You know, I ran into someone the other day. He said, you know, you haven't been in church in a while. Miss you. Come back. Why not? I've been working, which I understand. People got to work some on Sunday. But they said, you know, now I referee and I coach. And I do this. And I'm like, you know, all this is taking place to where we're losing that appointment, that time to come together with God. And say it's church. Church is important. Being together is important. The Bible says that our faith can't increase unless we hear the Word of God. Hearing increases our faith. And the Bible says, how can they hear unless there's a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent by God? And that's not changed. I'm not talking about cheerleading patty cake messages. I'm talking about preaching the Word of God, being instant in season and out of season, rebuking and exhorting and correcting, all in love. And we can't grow if we don't hear the Word of God being proclaimed. God's a little old-fashioned, too. He still uses preachers. Technology hadn't replaced that. Well, it sort of has in some churches, actually. But it shouldn't. It shouldn't. There's still something to be said about a man or a woman of God declaring the words of God to the public. Letting them know, here's who Jesus is. Here's what he did for you, and here's what you can do for him, and then you will have everlasting life. There's something to be said about that. So this tabernacle, this sanctuary, he says, I want to dwell among you. In John 14, Jesus was talking to disciples and said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to depart, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be in you. I'm going to dwell in you. So we know this building in itself has no power, but this room here is a place that we have set aside for the services of God. And there's something to be said about that. Because when you set aside, I mean, would any of you bring your car here and try to back it through those back doors? I need an oil change. It's not a garage. Would you come walking here? I need to get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. Where's the cooler at? Oh, this ain't a grocery store. I need to get a new pet squirrel. Oh, this ain't a pet shop. It's a church. And so this place has been set aside. And there's nothing wrong with the word church, nothing wrong with the word sanctuary, nothing wrong with the word tabernacle, nothing wrong with the word Holy Ghost, nothing wrong with the word presence of God. All that's still very relevant today, and people need to hear it. It's the only thing that's going to break the chains of bondage is getting what they need inside the sanctuary. Now, I'm going broader here and talking spiritual. It's inside that sanctuary to where we see the glory of God in such a way it overshadows what's outside the sanctuary, and it swallows it up and engulfs us, and it changes our lives. It's in the sanctuary every one of you received your salvation. It was in the sanctuary every one of you received your commission or call to serve God. It was in that sanctuary rim, that sanctuary place where God passed your way and changed your life forever and called you out of sin and put you into his righteousness. Every one of you had a sanctuary moment. And that sanctuary is still very alive, and it's very well, and it's still so sacred. My God, it's so sacred. I understand we don't want to be so stiff that, you know, we're just narrow-minded and don't accept people. But why I'm saying this, the sanctuary, talking about physical sanctuary now, should still be a place of such honor and reverence and respect to know what our job is inside this room, and that's to hear from God. It's to hear from God. You know, I've offered many times for people, and very few take me up on it, but the offer's always there. If you want a place to pray and you want to come to church, all you can do is give me a call. I'll unlock this door, leave you alone. When you're done, you call me back. There's something about coming in a place that's been designated for the service of God that just brings a different atmosphere. Yes, we can pray anywhere. I understand that. I'm not that narrow-minded. But there is something about when you walk into a sanctuary, a house of worship. Because you walk in here, guess what? That's what you're supposed to be doing. It's worshiping, praying, serving God, hearing from God. And there's something about coming here and in this place. We've had a few of the years that's actually done that. Just called me and come here and done that. And it's a place that just, it brings such peace because it was designed to do that. It was designated for the service of God. Turn to Hebrews. Now, we saw what the sanctuary was in Exodus. It was a temporary tent that went from place to place. It was so important to God. The first thing he did, they was rescued, delivered. It says, look, I want a sanctuary. Now, Hebrews 13:11, well, I'm going to read about five verses here. We'll start with verse 11. Hebrews 13, verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without or outside the camp. Now, explain what he's talking about here. In the old sacrificial system, these animals that were sacrificed for worship, the high priest would take the blood, go behind the curtain, behind the veil, and sprinkle it up on top of the mercy seat, which is on top of the Ark of the Covenant. But the dead bodies didn't come behind the veil. The dead bodies stayed outside the veil and were burnt up and consumed. They didn't come behind the veil. So that's what he's talking about. The blood was sprinkled, but the bodies of the animals stayed outside. Wherefore, Jesus... Now, here's our fulfillment of what Christ did. Wherefore, Jesus, also that he might sanctify, set apart, the people with his own blood, suffered also outside the gate. Where was the body of Jesus? It was not in the city. It was hanging at Mount Golgotha, outside the city. And in one place in the Gospels, the Bible says that Mount Golgotha was nigh under the city. It was near, but it wasn't in the city. So Jesus also died outside the gate. He died outside the veil on Mount Golgotha for the sacrifice of sin. Verse 13, so let us go therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. We are to live this life and live this world bearing the price Jesus paid. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And we know that will be. By him, therefore, verse 15 and 16 are key. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We should continually give God praise. Wash the dishes, give him praise. Wash the car, give him praise. Laying down at night, give him praise. Getting in the shower, give him praise. Continually. We don't come one time a year anymore to make our annual sin offering, but now the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are now the tabernacle. Therefore, we are to continually at all times, all places, and all seasons give Him praise, no matter how hard that may be. And there's seasons we don't feel like praising God. I don't care what anybody says. If y'all say that's a lie, then y'all the liar. Because y'all know there's seasons we don't want to give God praise. We lose someone we love. It's pretty hard to say, praise God, they died. Praise you, Jesus, I love you. Thank you, God, they're dead. No, we have hard times. We have hard seasons. Thank you, God. My kids being rebellion, hellion. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I praise you, Lord. I thank you so bad. Yeah, I know you'll get me through it. Church, when we get burdened, it's hard to praise God. When we get down and out, it's hard to praise God because the storm is so heavy. The chains are so linked that that's all we carry with us. It's like the old Christmas Carol story, the original black and white one I love the best. Old Marley, remember? He come back in that vision to old Ebenezer Scrooge. He clanks all them chains. And old Marley's like, what's all them chains? Or Ebenezer, Marley, what's all them chains? What's that about? I weave them chains link by link throughout my life. In church, that's life. We link chains through our failures, through our sins, through our discouragement, through our fears. If we're not careful, we link ourselves to where we're carrying all that around everywhere we go. And it's pretty hard to praise God when you're linked up like that. But you know what? Old Paul and Silas did, didn't they? They were in jail. They were behind bars. And they began to praise God and sing forth His praises. And what happened? The angel of the Lord rocked that gate open and slew them, or put them guards, you know, passed them out and put them to sleep. And they walked right out of that gate free because in their prison, they still praise God. See, God deserves our praise whether we're happy or not. Whether things are going good or not. Your car's broke down. You got a $2,000 transmission bill. That ain't fun. I've been there many times. But you know what? God's still God. And God ain't come to the throne and say, man, you lost that transmission. Well, my Lord. Well, if you don't want to praise anymore, I understand that. I mean, we've got to be deeper than that. We've got to understand, my God, yeah, things happen. But you're God. My Lord, I can imagine. Can you imagine being Moses at that burning bush when that glory of God spoke to him and knocked him to the ground and he heard that thundering voice of God and that hallowed ground he was on? That completely changed his life. That changed his destiny. When we hear from God, it changes our destiny. It changes our life when we really hear from Him. But what happens is we don't hear from Him like we want to because we're not in the sanctuary. We're outside the gate. You know, it's like going to a ball game. Would any of you want to pay, you know, would any of you want to just, you know, I mean, some people do, but it's ridiculous. I don't understand that. You drive to Charlotte, getting all that mess and all that traffic, you know, and you stay in a parking lot, you know, 15 blocks away to try to watch the game. Well, I see the stadium, but they're having a good time in there. I can hear the PA a little bit. What'd they say? Free beer? Huh? All right, go ahead. I heard them say something. You'd be mad. You bought a ticket and you go down there and you can't get in? Who wants to stay outside and try to hear the game? That's ridiculous. We're outside the sanctuary. And we wonder why we don't hear from God or why we don't see clearly. In order for our vision to see clearly and our ears to hear clearly, we've got to be in the presence and place of where that's happening. And that's inside His sanctuary. That's in that holy of holy place. That's in that rim that you go to that is more powerful and more elevated than any other earthly rim could ever be. We escape into that place. It's a wonderful place to escape. We don't do it enough. The more we do that, the more energized, the more strengthened we'll become. I've said this before. People told me, said, Pastor, you know, I don't feel the Lord moving like I used to. And the Holy Spirit, I used to just move and flow. And I don't feel like I used to feel them. And I think I've lost the anointing. You don't lose the anointing, church. Once God plants that in you, you've got it. But if you don't use it, you're not going to benefit from it. That's the deal. God's not changed. You can still feel God like you did 30 years ago. You can still move in God. But what happens? We've let the things, the world, and the big picture of society and the cultural shift come in and choke out that anointing that's there, and we leave it laying dormant, and we don't use it. We stop using it. Start using that anointing again. I don't care if people think you're crazy or that's outdated. It's not outdated. The same anointing that saved you and filled you is the same anointing that was meant to remain with you all the way to the very end of your days. God gave you an eternal anointing to carry you through this journey called life. It doesn't leave you. It doesn't weaken. It's not stolen away. It is there. Water it and feed it and let it grow and become again the blossom it used to be in your life. And all will see, that's what I need. It's that anointing, the Bible says, that breaks the yoke. It breaks it. The anointing breaks the yoke. And we need some yoke breaking in this generation. Some yoke breaking in our homes, our lives. Even our own minds need yoke breaking. And the reason we can't get broke away is we're not allowing that to flow and use what God's already given us. That's found in the sanctuary. That's found in that innermost presence. That's found in that holy place behind that veil. That you know what? That's you and God's space. And that's what we always say. Melanie says a lot too when she's up here about the church. Look, lose yourself. Church, if we could ever lose ourselves in worship and quit worry about who's got their hand up and who don't, or who's not praying, or who's sitting and who's standing, just get, man, forget to get lost. You're in the presence of God. I mean, my God, I've been seeing kids in the sanctuary raise their hands. It's blessed my heart. We got 2 or 3 kids that are raising their hands during worship. That is amazing. Church, the Bible says that we should lift our hands unto the Lord. We should lift our hands in praise. You know, we don't need to be ashamed of bringing our honor and our glory to God. There's something about when we allow ourselves to really worship, all of a sudden that fear goes away. And we're just engrossed in what God's got for us. You know, God can almost black out the things around you if you get lost enough. He'll black it out to where you're in your own circle. You're in your own place. You don't care about anything. You're feeling so much in the presence of God, that's all that matters. And that's still available in the sanctuary. Sanctuary is not changed. Man's tried to change it, but God's not. Go to the next. This is verse 16, last verse. Do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when we bring him our offerings, whether it's our money, whether it's our praise, whether it's our song. You know, Melanie says it many times. When the singers are up here singing, it's not about them. And when it becomes about you, then you're not in the right place. And we've had to deal with that through the years, the church. People are not in it for themselves, and you're not in the right place. When you're truly serving God, you quit serving yourself. And you truly, it's about God. I've said many times, it's never about me. There has to be a preacher, and I'm just the one that's preaching here. But I don't want me to be seen. I want God to be seen. And, you know, I've had some encouraging words from different people in the church that have told me that I've had several incidences, 2 or 3, where I've been up here preaching. After service, somebody said, there was a light above your head, and when you walked across, it followed you everywhere you went. That as you crossed the stage, it stayed right above your head the whole time he's preaching. It was there everywhere you moved. See, that's God. That's the presence of God. That's what needs to be seen. That God's more powerful than our abilities, than our talents, than our skills. That God's the power behind it all. I got one more verse. I just forgot it. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You, us, church, we are the temple of the living God. We're the temple. God doesn't dwell anymore in a tent in the wilderness. God now dwells inside his believers. That's what the Holy Ghost was all about. It wasn't to be seen as a charismatic gift. It was to be exercised as a spiritual strength. To walk this earth in his power. His power. The upper room experience was, you know what he was doing? He was screwing all their heads off and pouring his power into them. And said, when you leave this temple, you won't be like you were. You will be endowed with power from above to be witnesses unto all of Jerusalem and to all the uttermost parts of the earth. It's power. It's like pouring gasoline in the engine. The Holy Spirit filled us. To equip us to face every day with authority and strength and his power. That we can overcome our own battles and help others overcome theirs. We are now the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell, abide, live in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. My Lord, we're the temple. Because we're the temple, I want to think about this. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You can't get any more powerful than that. There's no potion greater than that. There's no magic trick to be a foreign. There's no hypnosis. There's no earthly gift or skill that overpowers the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. There's no high like it. There's no joy like it. There's no peace like it. There's something about it that when you really start walking and realizing who you are in Christ, he said he's going to be my God and I'm going to be his people. I'm his. Man, I'm God's. Are you kidding me? I'm God's. Through all my failures, all my sins, all my weaknesses, I'm God's. And he chose to live in me. I mean, if you knew me, are you kidding? Have you seen what's in that closet? And God, you're living there? And all that nasty cobweb, not cleaning up, messy demons of what I deal with, and you're living there? Are you kidding me? Because when God comes in, we then become sacred in his eyes, sanctified and set apart for his service. We're used by God to do mighty things. Sanctuary. A dwelling place, a place set apart, a holy place, a consecrated place, a place or a person that is dedicated to the service of God. So this church here is dedicated for the service of God. And then each one of us that are his children are also dedicated and consecrated for the service of God. So that's why it's important we bring our offering, we bring our sacrifice, we bring our praise, we give something to God that he wants so desperately. And that's to hear from us. What time is it? My clock is off the wall. That's really throwing me off. Oh, is that the right time? Oh, I did good. Right at 8 o'clock. Okay. Good. It's amazing that clock keeps me on track. Sunday it threw me off way bad. When you come back Sunday morning, and you will be back, yes. When you come back Sunday morning, think about this message. And think about when you enter those doors, you're not entering just a place of, you know, fellowship, which it is. Or a place of talking to each other about whatever. But you're entering a place of reverence and holiness. To think, wow, for 10 years now, this building has stood as an honor to God. It's been dedicated to him. And, you know, in 2 more years, we'll have our 15th anniversary of the ministry. Hard to believe. 2 years will be 15 years. And, you know, we're going to plan something pretty special for that. And God has brought us a long way, and we're going to go a lot farther. And I want the church to be excited, on fire about what God's doing here. Because there's a season of transition right now, and God is church, there's going to be some great things done, some mighty spiritual things done. There's going to be a great awakening for the souls of people that have been asleep. There's going to be an awakening. There's going to be the darkness that's covering eyes now is going to give way to the light and revelation of Jesus. It's going to happen. It's going to come. And we need to be prepared at the sanctuary to be that light to bring them in, to let them know, yes, there can be real change. You can really be changed by the presence of God. Brother Charles, was you a different person before you got saved? After you got saved, you changed a lot, didn't you? Night and day. See, how can a person, you know, people always say, well, you are what you are. I can't change. Been that way 40. Man, the Holy Spirit comes on you. It can change things like that. It can take desires away. It can change the appetite of what you desire. Things you used to want, you may not want no more. We outgrow things naturally. We can outgrow things in the world too, in the spiritual realm. Things we used to entice us. I don't want that no more. I don't want it no more. So we need to be that light. We are that sanctuary. Be that sanctuary. Any comments tonight in closing? Anything on our hearts or mind? Do you want to pray for Dee's little boy, Hudson? I went and picked up Maverick. And I was so proud. I caught, because Dee said that he wanted to be here so bad, Maverick did.